and God is in control and in charge of all things. So welcome. Welcome to Rolling Hills Church this morning. Things will look a little different again today. For those of you who don't know, the Wonderland family, Pastor Matt's family, has COVID in their household. And so last I heard, I just checked, it was Reka, Violet, Titus, and Bryce have tested positive. Titus and Bryce had no symptoms whatsoever so far. And the others just a small, or I think Reka had a mild cold and some loss of taste. So keep praying for them. Might want to check on them once in a while, see that they need anything, if they need anything. But so we're keeping the Wonderland family in our prayers. So Matt will not be here with us today, obviously, and probably not next week either. I think he has a mandatory 14 days isolation or something like that. So we are going to have Matt preach to us, I think, today on a video. And what else was I going to say? I wrote some things down digitally. Oh, I wanted to share a quote with you to kind of get our minds focused on God. It just so happened this morning when I walked into the building, I overheard a conversation that Lauren and Philip and some others were having about the Puritans. So I thought I would look up a quote from one of the Puritans. Lauren made the point that any of us in what we would consider ourselves a Reformed Baptist church in that tradition, any of us would be perfectly comfortable hearing just about any Puritan sermon that was preached. They were what we would consider orthodox in their beliefs, small o, orthodox in their Christian beliefs. This is a quote from a Puritan pastor. "Faith makes us kings because thereby we marry the King of heaven. The church is the queen of heaven and Christ is the King of heaven." So I thought that was a kind of a neat little quote. We have a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. Jesse has those up on the screen. Today is our last day. I think we want to get that card out. There's a great big card, a giant thank you card for J Squared. That is the construction company that's acting as our general contractor building our building. And we're filling out a thank you card. They've been wonderful. They've done some super work out there. If you haven't been out to the building, go out there and walk around. It's pretty impressive and inspiring. Also, they donated the roofing. That was something that just came up a few weeks ago, that they wanted to do that for us at Rolling Hills Church. And so we're sending them a thank you card. We want you to put your message and name on that card, if you would, and we'll get that to them. November 29th through December 6th is our week for helping out with Family Promise, which helps out homeless folks who have children. I think, as of last I heard, there was no family in the program, but I think they had some people that were filling out applications, which doesn't always end up being somebody in, but we want to be prepared for that. We usually provide meals each evening, us and the E-Free Church here in town pair up for that week. December 25th, Alone for Christmas. If you want more details, that's for people who are going to be alone for Christmas. I think, I don't know how they're doing that this year, gather for a meal, I think, and that. So, what was there? One other thing. Yes. Okay, they're just doing meals, I think. Yeah, okay. Delivering meals, you're right. I think I did see a note about that. The one other thing I wanted to make an announcement about. Pastor Matt is thinking that we should have a work day out at the building, the building site. Many of our folks here in church have been out there working day after day when their schedules have allowed. Some have been putting in a lot of hours out there, but some of us have not been able to do so because we can't get away for work or whatever. Matt thought it would be good if we scheduled a Saturday work day for those who work Monday through Fridays. And so he wants to know quickly if it would work out best if we did this coming Saturday, which would be a week from yesterday, or the following Saturday, which I think is the 5th, is that right? December 5th. If you could get a message to Matt somehow, text, email, or comment on the Facebook page, whatever, let him know what would work out for best for you. He's going to pick one of those two Saturdays to try and get a bunch of us to come out and do a work day on a Saturday for those who can't normally. I think that's it. On that note, Jim Becker is one of those who has been out at the work site for many, many hours. I hope he's keeping track of that. It'd be nice to know what some of those folks have put in as far as work hours out there. And I'm sure he has some calluses, and I know he's had some sore back muscles, but he wanted to just talk to us this morning about the experience he's had with working out there and how that's affected him.
Good morning. I'd like to share some thoughts with you about these last few weeks regarding the church building. Where can you go and have some fun learning some construction skills? Where can you go to work alongside fellow church members and get to know them better in a non-church setting? Where can you contribute your time and energies to help us realize the mission that God has given us? How about 1585 West Main Street? Did you know that 5 of the 6 J-squared construction crew members are Christians, and that they freely talk about their faith with us? They're also fun to work with, and they help us with any questions and concerns that we may have, and have complimented our church members for working so hard. To date, our volunteers have helped with sheeting the outside walls and wrapping the building with Tyvek, cut blocks and installed them between the studs on the walls, installed 10 windows, shingled the canopy and installed vinyl trim around all the windows, swept and picked up scraps and debris from the site, secured extension cords, tools, and other equipment at the close of each day, and that does require to be done every day. These are just a few of the jobs that you volunteers have accomplished so far. Construction is going well, but our volunteerism has slowed our part down considerably. The siding is going slowly, and the hope is to have the outside finished before the snow flies, which now sounds like Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday. So I don't think we'll make it. We as a church have committed to doing all of the siding, and we need more help. We are waiting for the doors to be delivered. Hopefully that will be early this week. They've been delayed for a couple of weeks now. So a couple of hours of your time will help speed us to our goal to beat the snow or in the snow. If you can spare some time, please call Matt with your availability, and I hope to see you on site. Does anyone have any questions that I as a volunteer might be able to answer in the meantime? Thank you. And now Philip.
Good morning, church. Today's missionary moment is our missionaries, Jim and Teresa Flora. Now, I say our, you've probably never seen these people before, never heard of them specifically from Rolling Hills Church, but they are our missionaries because we support missionaries through our giving. All of our regular giving, about 10% of it, goes to missions. And a portion of that, I believe 6 or 4%, asked Mrs. Montgomery the specific percent, or someone else who's good at remembering the budget. I forget the specific percent. But of our 10%, some of that goes to the cooperative program, which gives money to international missionaries and national missionaries here in the United States. And so indirectly, we can say Jim and Teresa Flora are our missionaries. And they have served 11 years in Africa in the nation of Lesotho. It's a separate country, but it's completely surrounded by the country of South Africa. And if you go to the next slide, you can see there's the arrow pointing to the Lesotho. When I think of Africa, I usually think of jungles and savanna. However, Lesotho is quite different. The whole country of Lesotho is mountains and high altitude. The average temperature is 59 degrees and as frequently snows in the winter. Right now, it is the summertime in the southern hemisphere, and the temperature is probably in the 70s. For comparison, you can see that there's a Wisconsin next to the size of Lesotho. More than 2 million people live in Lesotho, and almost all of them need to hear the gospel. Most people are poor, and many people live in small, hard-to-reach villages in the mountains. Jim and Teresa bring in teams of volunteers from Southern Baptist churches in the United States to help them. Teresa is a nurse, so they often bring in medical teams to hold clinics. Jim goes on weekly expeditions to remote villages to preach and disciple. Over the past 11 years, hundreds of people have come to faith in Christ. It is worth pointing out that Jim and Teresa have not been foreign missionaries their whole lives. They answered God's call and went to the mission field of Lesotho when they were 50 years old. You can go ahead and show the, They were 35 when Jim started pastoring a church in Arkansas. Right now, they're back in the United States because Jim is being treated for a tumor that was discovered in his liver. So you can go to the next slide so we can see him. Let's pray together for the Flora family. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you today. And we give you thanks for the ministry that you've given Jim and Teresa. We praise you for their faithful service and the way they've obeyed you and followed you where you led them. We ask you now for your physical healing for Jim on this side of heaven. We pray that you would bring him healing soon. We pray that if it is your will, he would be healed for your glory. We also pray for the churches and the believers in Lesotho. We ask that you would raise up local pastors and teachers who would continue to spread the good news of salvation in Lesotho. God, we ask you for forgiveness. We focus so easily on temporary things and tend to neglect the eternal souls of our neighbors. Forgive us of our blindness. Help us to see and love the lost just as you loved us. We pray this in your name. Amen. And now we'll have a word from Craig.
We want to take some time now to go to the Lord in prayer as a church body. All through the Bible, we see instances of the church, folks of the church, praying together as a group. And we try each Sunday to share a verse that witnesses to that fact. This morning, if you look in 2 Timothy, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 22, we're reminded that we're not alone as we seek the Lord in prayer. It says this in 2 Timothy, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So as we see that Paul was telling Timothy to join calling on God with those who were doing so, we're going to do that this morning. We're going to take some time to go to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Bow your heads with me. Father God, you have called each one of us by name. We want to take a moment now to answer your call and acknowledge your presence here with us this morning. We cry out and pray also to our Savior Jesus. Your death on the cross has set us free. We can live joyously and freely without fear because we are yours. At this time, we want to give the Lord any fears or concerns that are on our hearts. Give those to him so that you may focus all of yourself on God this morning. Lord God, as a part of our prayer this morning, we want to turn to your law and look there for the commands that you give to us. We see in Exodus 20, your seventh commandment, that we shall not commit adultery. Jesus has reminded us that this is not just lustful behavior, but even our lustful thoughts are adultery. Lord, surely we are all guilty of lust. We want to take time now to acknowledge our imperfections to you, Lord. And then, Lord, we're reminded of the blessings that we get from your word, your perfect word given to us. As we look at the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 34, we're reminded that you have forgiven our sins. It says of this present age, quote, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know from me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." God, we want to take some time right now to thank you for your relationship with us. We want to thank you for your forgiveness, the forgiveness that makes our relationship with you possible. We want to meditate on that this morning at this time. And Lord, we're reminded that faith in you and membership in your church, your worldwide church, is much about relationships that we have with one another. Not just with you, but with one another also. Those in the row behind us and before us, those sitting in the chair next to us, those on the other side of the room, and even those on the other side of the world. Part of that relationship building is sharing our faith with others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, we hear God's words by the hand of Paul. It says this in 2 Timothy, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Lord, by these words, we know that our ministry is to tell others how they can enjoy the relationship that we have with you, that relationship which fulfills us in all of our days. Church, we want to take some time now to pray that you can be intentional as you pursue your ministry of witness and sharing this coming week. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus tells us this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." We know, God, that if we are in your will, and we trust your promises, we know that our prayers will be answered. And so with faith this morning, and trust, we lift up these prayers to you. Hear us in our prayers of praise and love to you, our King. Hear us in our prayers of anguish over our sin. Hear us as we ask for your healing for those who suffer and for your blessing on those who serve in our midst here at Rolling Hills Church. God, we pray for those who serve in faraway places. We come before you with all of these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right. Matt has been preaching through the Gospel of John, and today's passage is going to be from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 20 through 26. If you want to turn with me to there, you can follow along, or I'll read it out loud. I would ask that you would stand in honor of the reading of God's word aloud. Beginning with verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This ends the reading of God's word. You can be seated. All I'll say right now is, as I introduce Matt's sermon, I hope he can explain to us all those in them, in us, in me, in you, with us, with me, with you. This is Matt's sermon on John chapter 17.
Well, good morning, church family. I just wanted to, before I begin the sermon, just to inform you, in case you hadn't heard yet, that we have several cases of COVID in our family. And so following all the protocols and things, we're going to be staying away for a little while. And so at least this week, you're going to have a video sermon, possibly next week and even the week after that, just depending upon how everything goes through our family. So we do appreciate your prayers during this time. And I do want to encourage you that if there's something you need to, please reach out to one of the other elders or to a trusted friend that's in the church, as unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to really do any visitations or anything like that. Of course, my phone is always available, assuming that I don't actually end up getting sick. One of the things I did want to highlight, and I'm not sure if it got highlighted in the announcements already, is that we are looking for people to let us know if there are any Saturdays, or actually, and this is new, if there are any evenings they may want to work. Since we have power now hooked up to the building, we are near the building, we're able to actually allow people to come out there from about 5 to 8 o'clock at night. So that's 3 hours, and a lot of work can get done in 3 hours for sure. Right now we're working on siding, and we are going to very soon be working on the canopy underside. And both of those, they require very little skill, but you really can't do any of it by yourself, so it takes a few people. But if you are interested in a Saturday or an evening, please let me know when you might be interested so that we can try to arrange that, because I can kind of arrange that through email. One of the other things is the Friday after Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving Day, we're not planning on doing any work, but the Friday after Thanksgiving, we can certainly have people come out and work. So if you are available and you want the joy of participating and helping with that, we encourage you to come. Otherwise, God bless you. Know that our family misses you and that we pray for you. And we shall now begin the sermon. When I was a senior in high school, I was part of arguably the best cross-country team in our school's history. I mean, just to give you an idea of how good we were, our junior varsity team would have gotten 5th place at the state meet. That's our junior varsity. You know, there was only one other team in the state that was even close to us with their varsity. And we had beaten Whitewater by about 20 points in the first meet of the year. And about 3/4 of the way into the season, we were at an invitational where they were, and we beat them again by more than 50 points. We knew that we were going to win the high school state championship. We knew we were the winning team. But something very unfortunate happened after we beat Whitewater the second time. We started fighting and arguing within the team. Exactly like the disciples, most of our discussions were around who is the greatest. Well, rivalries developed, concern over glory, bickering over things that really didn't matter. And our coach saw that this was happening, and he said, "Be careful so that you don't undermine the team." Well, the state meet came, and what do you think happened? Whitewater beat us. They ended up winning, and we got second. Whereas our team, we were bickering and fighting and undermining the team, they bonded even deeper in their desire to defeat us. We ran for ourselves. They ran for each other. You know, the Bible likens our lives to a race in 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, and Hebrews. And in our passage today, John 17, 20 through 26, Jesus prays that we don't undermine the team and that we would run for one another. We are in the final segment of Jesus' high priestly prayer this week. 2 weeks ago, Jesus prayed about his relationship to God the Father. Last week, Jesus prayed for the disciples. And this week, Jesus is praying for us. If you look at verse 20, here Jesus says that he's not only praying for the disciples that were there with him, but for future believers, people who would believe because of the faithful missionary work of those who come before them. Do you realize that 2,000 years of Christian effort, 2,000 years of persecution, suffering, and martyrdom, 2,000 years of God's planning has come down to this, that you and I would become Christians? Think about that. All of history has led to you coming to faith by God's design. Man, if that doesn't make you feel loved or special, I really don't know what does. And we have a role in bringing future generations into the kingdom. We have an essential role to play in the most significant part of history, advancing the kingdom of God. And then the icing on the cake is that Jesus himself prays for us. And we know he prays for us right now at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding on our behalf. And he prayed for us back then in a way that is still efficacious to us today. Kids, doesn't it make you feel good when someone prays for you? We talked about this last week, right? Thumbs up. It feels really good when somebody prays for you. Today, you get to hear exactly how Jesus prays for you. I mean, whoa, right? We actually get to hear Jesus praying for us when our passage was read earlier today. You actually heard the words of Jesus. And what was happening 2,000 years ago is impactful to us right now. And what's more, think about this. We get to be an answer to Jesus's prayer. I mean, how cool is that, children, right? So often we ask Jesus for things, right? But now we have a chance to be the answer to Jesus's prayer. Let the weight of that sit on you for a moment. You are incredibly significant. Jesus prays for you. And you can answer a prayer of Jesus. And this is neat, not just for us as individual people, but remember, every other believer in this room shares that same experience. And literally every other believer in the world. They are significant to God just like you're significant to God. They all matter just like you matter. They're on the winning team, just like you're on the winning team. But here's the problem. Too often, we undermine the team. Kids, are there ways that you can think of where Christians actually hurt God's team in the way we treat one another? Are there things we do that can cause harm to the church? Let's just take a brief pause, and it's hard to do with a video, but I'm going to pause just for a second so you can tell your parents that. Well, there are a lot of things, right? There's a lot of ways we can hurt the church. We can be mean to one another. We can lie. We can fight and bicker and seek glory. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to just take a moment to simply talk about two ways that Christians can hurt their church team. The first way might be something you don't think about very much, and it's this, that we ignore each other, right? It'd be like, aside from Sunday mornings and maybe one other night of the week, we might have nothing to do with each other. We don't think of our church. We don't pray for our church. We have no vested interest whatsoever in the other members of our local church community. And you know, I heard this a long time ago, and I think there's great truth to it. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. The opposite of love is not hate. It is indifference. Think about it. When you hate someone, you still have strong feelings about that person. When you hate someone, they still affect you. When you hate someone, they're still an important part of your life. However, when you're indifferent to someone, you truly don't care about them. In a strange way, we care about the people we hate. But when you are indifferent to someone, you really don't care. You know, in a church that's our size, I mean, unless you're new, you probably should know everyone. I mean, you don't have to be best friends with everyone. And there's going to be occasions where, due to personality or situation, it's better to keep the relationship at a different level. But you should at least be friends with everyone to some degree in a church as small as ours. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you don't care about a big chunk of the people in a church as small as we are, there's a major heart problem going on. And it's time to start inviting folks over for meals. It's time to start dropping some text or intentionally trying to catch people after church or cell groups, or just start to go to cell groups. We need to care for one another and not be indifferent. The second way I want to highlight how Christians can hurt the church and undermine the church team is it's a much larger problem. Right? Feeling that indifference is a problem with the local church, but this is more of a big C church problem. And here's what that problem is. Sundays are still the most segregated days of the week. You know, I heard a sociologist, Michael Emerson, he's the world expert on race and the church, talking 2 weeks ago about some of the things that he said were really rather shocking. But one of the things that he said was that the racial gap in evangelical churches is about three times as wide as the racial gap in society. I mean, just think about that for a second. Churches are often farther apart when it comes to racial division than our society as a whole. Our scriptures give us the groundwork for racial unity. We all come from one couple, Adam and Eve. We often criticize society's solutions about racial issues, and rightfully so in many cases. But the problem is too often we neglect the biblical solutions, and too often we put our heads in the sand regarding this issue. And that's especially easy in a community like Platteville, where there isn't a lot of diversity. But we need to get educated, and we need to grow in this area. racial divides are not good for Team Christ. They undermine it. You know, we can undermine the team in a lot of ways, but let's not sugarcoat how we can do that through indifference to one another and racial division. Unity matters to our Christian witness. And that's what verses 21 through 23 really pound home. Because we don't simply want to not undermine Christ's team. We want to be contributors. And so we must run the race for others. We must be united. Kids, in our passage on the screen, how many times does the word one appear in these three verses? And parents, maybe you can help them count if need be. I count four times. We are called to unity and oneness four times in three verses of Jesus' prayer. I mean, do you think this is important to Jesus? Absolutely. And this is also the prayer that we can answer for Jesus, to be united, to be one. And why does Jesus want us to be one? There's two reasons listed in this passage. So that the world believes God the Father sent Jesus, and so that the world knows that God the Father loves Christians in the same way he loves Jesus. And the bottom line is that our evangelism is tightly tied to our unity. And then look at the level in which we are called to be one. We're called to be one in the same way that God the Father is in Jesus, and that Jesus is in God the Father. In the same way as Trinitarian oneness, perfectly one, it says. I mean, this is not mere toleration of one another on a Sunday morning. This is involvement in each other's lives. This is caring and agonizing in prayer for one another, letting others affect us in a powerful way. This is such a great love that even if maybe you're not best friends, but it is such a great love that the world can't even explain it except by God. I mean, just imagine if our church's unity was so based on love that outsiders knew immediately that we represent Jesus Christ. That kind of love doesn't make sense if the Trinity wasn't real. I mean, just imagine if they said, wow, they must be from Rolling Hills Church because I don't know anyone who loves the way that church does. Now, this might seem a little pie in the sky to you. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue that this is not a beautiful thing to aspire to. But the question is it realistic? Is it really possible? Verse 22 helps us answer this. And the answer is yes, by the way. And I chewed on this verse for a long time before going to the commentaries for a little bit of help. It says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one even as we are one. So the question I had is, what is the glory that was given to Jesus? And then he gives it to us. And this glory enables oneness to a Trinitarian degree. Now, there are a lot of thoughts out there on this. One of those thoughts is God's word, right? God's word is certainly glorious. And it was given to Jesus, right? Jesus only spoke the words of the Father. And by following it, we should have oneness. But the most satisfying answer, in my opinion, is that this refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus during his baptism. And then the Holy Spirit was given to us by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit truly enables oneness and unity to a Trinitarian degree, because when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, in a sense, we enter into the Trinitarian relationship by being in Christ and having Christ in us. And in fact, even the word for glory, doxa, is used in the Bible elsewhere and translated in ways such as a beautiful manifestation or a dignitary, which perfectly describes the Holy Spirit. Oneness rooted in love is essential to our evangelism, and it answers Jesus's prayer. And it is possible because we have God's word and because the Holy Spirit works within us. Of course, that brings an element to the equation that we really can't miss. Our unity together is intimately tied to our unity with God. The strength of our horizontal relationships, our relationships with each other, is rooted in the strength of our vertical relationship, our relationship with God. You know, if you imagine a triangle, with God at the top, me on one side, and you on the other, the more we both move up and pursue God together, the closer we actually come to one another. As we go up, we get closer. And this is true of friends, siblings, marriages, and really of any relationship you can think of. If you pursue God together, you can't help but to grow closer to one another. And of course, as we get closer, like iron sharpens iron, we will be transformed and pursue God even more. If you don't pursue God, your friendships in the church will be shallow or lacking. And if you don't pursue your friendships in the church, your fellowship with God will be shallow or lacking. Our faith is lived out in an interconnected web of pursuing God and relating with each other. It's something that we can't escape. Verses 24 through 26 highlight that we should relate to one another in love. God himself puts a powerful love in us. In verse 26, Jesus says that it is the same love that God the Father loves God the Son with. Kids, do you think that that love is pretty strong? Yeah, absolutely. That love is extremely strong. And if you don't have that, even if it's just a seed of that, you may have to question whether or not you are in Christ at all. Jesus wants us to see his glory, a glory that was given to him in love before the foundation of the world. And by the way, this doesn't just happen one day when we go to heaven. Because isn't verse 24 interesting? Jesus asks for the elect, all Christians, everyone that's been given to him by God the Father, to be with Jesus where he is. It doesn't say where he will be. Where is Jesus when he says these words? He hasn't gone back up to heaven yet. Children, do you have any thoughts? Do you remember where Jesus was when he was praying this prayer? When Jesus says these words, he's with the disciples, likely in the upper room or perhaps starting to leave the upper room. And he's there shortly before he goes to the cross. We are with Jesus when we have loving relationships. We are with Jesus when we're about to suffer for the sake of another. We are with Jesus when we worship together. Remember, this was the Passover celebration. This was all part of a big worship evening. And of course, when we eat together, we are with Jesus. I mean, these are just things that people who love each other do. And they bring us closer to Jesus. When we run the race for other believers, instead of living a selfish life or even a selfish Christianity, yes, there is such thing as a selfish Christianity, just look at the world around you, then we are with Jesus. Don't you want to be with Jesus in a way where you can actually see and experience his glory? If you do, then get involved in the lives of people in our church family. Eat together. Come to worship and cell group. Sacrifice for others. Serve one another. The list goes on and on. Then you will experience Christ. Then you will be with Jesus and see his glory in a very tangible way. You know, once upon a time, we were alone. We were out of fellowship. We were missing something. But now, in Christ Jesus, we are attached. We're a part of something bigger, connected to God and to each other in a profound way. This connection, our unity, is part of our battle against Satan, against the kingdom of darkness. It's part of our witness to a watching world. It's a way that we advance God's kingdom of light. We know that God the Father sent Jesus. And when we are united in love, we tell the world this, that God sent Jesus and that God loves us. But too often we undermine the team, right? Through hatred, indifference, complaining, selfishness, racial divides, injustice, squabbling, politics, and the list goes on and on. Satan loves it when we do that. But when we live our lives the way God intended, when we run for each other by pursuing God and doing life together, then we are an undeniable witness to the world that Jesus is the only way to God. Never forget that you are significant, and the people around you are significant. And we are on the most important team ever. And this team will win. The only question is, are you going to undermine the team? Or are you going to be a contributor? And what will your contribution be? Let's answer Jesus' prayer by deepening our relationships within our church family, even as we grow closer to God. Please bow your heads now and pray with me. Loving Father, thank you that we are your children and have become joint heirs with Christ simply because we believed on his holy name. I pray that you will help every member of our church to live in harmony with each other. May we be united in love. May we not ever undermine the team. And Lord, enable us to pray with the mind of Christ, with that same level of importance of unity and love. May we be guided by the Spirit of God and glorify you with one heart and one voice. Father, protect us from Satan, as we know he wants to divide us. Whether it's petty things or things of more importance, he wants to see us split. He wants to see us not united. Protect us from his ways. And Lord, keep us from worldly ways, but rather may our lives be a witness of your love, not only in what we say, but in all that we do. I ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
To your left, there is some indication that COVID is spread more readily by people singing. So we'll do the memory verse and then we will worship in music.
John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16.
So all of the monthly memory verses going back to, I think it's October of 2015, something like that, 2015, 2016, they're all out on, you can get to them either through the church's website, rollinghillschurch.com, or you can go to soundcloud.com and just search for Rolling Hills Church, and they're all there. Makes for a great playlist if you want to have something, you know, decent playing in the background or whatever. Stand with me. Let's worship the Lord together.
Tremble at his voice. Oh.
Father, Jesus, you sit at the right hand of the Father. You intercede for us. Even now, you pray for us. You bring us before the throne. You usher us in that we can have audience with God the Father. And this is only possible because of your sacrifice, because you chose death upon a cross, humiliation, pain, suffering. You chose that, and you chose it for us. We worship you. We praise you. And Jesus, we ask that you would give us strength to fulfill your prayer, that we would be one as you and the Father are one. We ask all of these things, we pray not in our own authority, but in yours. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. His is the name my lips upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hear the power. Go in peace. Enjoy the favor of the Lord. You are dismissed. The band will be playing one more song. You're welcome to stay for that if you would like to. But otherwise, go enjoy the favor of the Lord and live in His will this week.
The wind and the rhythm of the rain.
Right.